Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know those are subjects that you're concerned about.
Well, listen,
did you not listen to what I just said?
You're doing a good job, though, on your investigative reporting.
Tundra.
Yes, the Board of Curators goes into an executive session coming up in 4 minutes.
Oh, where at? In Columbia, are they around here?
Well, I think they meet, and then some people dial in.
Okay.
On the deal. But
from remote
locations.
Outstate Missouri down the boot healer.
Conference telephone. Yeah.
Somebody's down there in Sykeston calling in.
Conference call. So I'm guessing the coach thing will be announced here shortly.
All in favor of this coach? Yay. All opposed? The yays have it. Congratulations.
Yes.
What's his name?
Eli Drinkwitz.
He was at Boise State, was at Arkansas State. He's got some good lineage. He's 36 years old. I like the fact that he's
young.
He's
had one head coaching job. It was last year.
Right, last year.
Drinkwitz.
Oh, Drinkwitz.
Yeah. And he did nice. Won 11 games or whatever it was.
I drink with everybody.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. 36 years old. I like it, man. It's a nice hire. He's got the Boise State pedigree, too, which I think is important. They win all the time.
Time's yours, 913-576-7610. Anything you'd like to discuss, but a couple questions we're posing. You're okay with the defense being the strength?
Yeah,
I am. And how would you feel about a rematch in Foxborough? Could happen.
I'll call it over now.
Time is yours with Scott. Scott's up first. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how you doing? All right, we're going to check them off here. I got 4 straight AFC West championships. Check. Patrick Mahomes beat Brady. Check. Back in Foxborough, no. We're going to get the 2 seed. It's coming to Kansas City, and then we're going to check that one off, too. Tickets to Miami, check.
You already bought your plane tickets?
I'm out.
Nicely done. I'm on board.
He's like, I'm out.
I forgot my 5th one, so I'm done. No, yeah. I enjoy that, man. I'm ready to rock and roll with you.
He's blown through the AFC Championship game, but that's fine.
We'll be partying on South Beach like it's never been done before.
He's like checkmarking game at home. Forgot about AFC Championship game. But anyway.
You haven't partied on South Beach, so you've done so with some 40-year-old dudes from KC.
Reggie in Anaheim's up next. Reggie, time's yours.
Time's yours.
Yeah, I'm okay with the defense being the strength right now. I think it mixing in with the offense is just providing us some balance. I would not like to go back up to Foxborough, but, I mean, if we have to, we have to. Hopefully we can get that game back here in Kansas City. Also, I think that Travis Kelce, man, with the ball security issues at critical times is really becoming a problem and a nuisance to my viewing pleasure.
Yep.
And I really need that to get cleaned up. And for all the talk about Darwin Thompson, bro, like the one thing that he doesn't do well that all great running backs do well is the ability to make the first guy miss in space. He just doesn't have that wiggle to make the first tackler miss and to get upfield and gain those extra yards after the catch. So I'll take my thoughts out there.
Hey, were you at Jalapeno Peach yesterday?
No, sir, I wasn't. I was in San Diego on some job stuff.
All right.
See
ya.
You guys got that taken care of?
Yeah, all right, that's cool. All good. Yeah, I'm good.
Tyson Downtown's up next. Tyson, time's yours.
100. Hey, guys, man, I got 2 things here. First thing, I'm so sick and tired of all these Chelsea lovers in this town. The guy's been a chump and a punk for us for years. He's not even the best tight end in the NFL with a name that starts with K. That Kittle guy in San Francisco could run laps around this guy. I hope we find some sucker we can trade him along with some other guys in the offseason. I'm happy we got a win, but for all the Chiefs fans that are excited and acting like we just won a Super Bowl, it's very nice that the league hired Tim Donaghy and his boys to finally put it to New England. I know it's not good to take a cheating win, but, you know, I think we deserve it. The bad part is if they actually think they're that good going into the playoffs, they're kidding themselves. Setting ourselves up for another disappointment come January.
All right, thanks for the downer
Tyson.
On that one,
Tyson's
man.
Hanging
good
out in the fog.
Lord, come on. Pull your head out of the fog. He's exactly right. Downtown, what are you up in the clouds or something down there? This defense is playing at a Super Bowl level. They've given up 14 points a game on average for the last three games. You do that, you're going to win every single game that you play.
Darius is up next in KC Mo. Darius, time's yours.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
I'm great. You know what? I'm just letting you guys know I'm a firm believer now. Hey, they were relentless against that run, and that pass rush was nasty last night. They pressured Brady. He did not like it to know what to do. Hey, I'm a believer. We're going to make this run in the playoffs, and we're going to Miami.
You got to be a believer, man. You got to be. You got to believe, man. You got to believe. I think the belief now is there, Josh, with fans because of the way that that game ended yesterday. They came up with a big defensive stop on a fourth down and game situation, basically, and they did it against Tom Brady and against Julian Edelman. This wasn't a stop against the third-string quarterback for Tampa Bay against some wide receiver on a Tuesday in
September.
You had a
defensive back one-on-one with Julian Edelman and made a play.
And you won. And you won. And you won the battle. And you won the game.
That's right.
Yeah, plant the flag.
That doesn't happen every day. Mike in Westport's up next. Mike, time's yours.
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know what to think about the Missouri hire, but I'm going to drink to it.
There you go. We'll drink with you.
Yeah.
So, guys, I'm really happy about this defense. I think we have a head and shoulders better defense than last year. I think we have some leaders out there, and I think they're going to be able to take us places in the playoffs. I'm a little worried about the offense. I think Mahomes is getting beat up out there. I think these defense they're kind of licking their chops, wanting to get after him. And I think it's a little bit of a welcome to the NFL this year for him. So I'm a little worried about that, something to keep an eye on. Thanks.
No, you're right about that, Mike. I think this offense has looked like an NFL offense this year. I don't think they've done really anything special since September, you know, on offense right now. And that's okay. You're playing good complementary football right now. The defense is picking up the offense. The offense is making just enough plays. The special teams yesterday came through with a big field goal block that they had yesterday. So, you know, you're getting production from all three units. It's a good complementary football team right now. No, this offense is not stellar anymore. It's just an offense right now. But this defense is playing at a Super Bowl level to pick up the offense, just like the offense did last year to pick up the defense.
And I don't want to talk about the kicker in the middle of a no-hitter and all, but he's automatic.
Oh, my God.
He's automatic.
Yeah. That's another great signing by Brett Veach. Remember they let Cairo Santos go?
Yeah, we're like, all right, Cairo Santos is all right.
Sign this guy off a practice squad?
Didn't have a problem with Cairo Santos.
Guy's the leading scorer in the NFL.
Butker's ridiculous.
Which I don't know if that's something to brag about or not, but the guy's the leading scorer in the NFL.
More sevens, I guess.
Yeah.
Mike in DeSoto's up next. Mike, time's yours.
Time's yours.
So here's the way I look at it. This was a good win. I don't think the Chiefs were incredible yesterday. I think the one thing that we have to look forward to is that even though they didn't play great, even though they played like crap, they still came away with a win.
Well, who played like crap? Because I thought the defense was absolutely superior yesterday. They held New England to 16 points, made plays, didn't give up a third down conversion after the first quarter. The offense didn't play good yesterday, but the defense played fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a lot of room for improvement on all sides of the ball, special teams, the offense. Defense, yes, defense did play a lot better than the offense. But I really think that going forward, I think we've got a really good chance at going really deep in the playoffs and even making it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I agree. I've been saying that since day one, especially the way that this defense is playing right now.
Going to Foxborough being perfect is...
I'll tell you what, I'd rather play the Patriots in Foxborough now than I would... The Patriots win here, we win there. I mean, think about that. The last two times we've gone to Foxborough, we've won up there. And when they come here, they win here.
Okay. Richard in Overland Park's up next. Richard, time's yours.
Time's yours.
I'll take 14 points a game for the defense in the last three is a great stat to throw out. That's absolutely amazing. And the pressure was so nice. Like, yeah, it was so nice yesterday to get Tom Brady a few licks. That was fantastic. My concern is that the Tom Brady Lamar Jackson comparison, if you're playing defense against Tom Brady, who's at 42, a statue back there now, versus a completely different game with Lamar Jackson, that's the collision course that we're on. I think
we beat Lamar Jackson already this year, though.
It was early.
Yeah, but still beat him. Hey, man, we got that feather.
I don't
right
know
now.
What you're talking about, Richard. I saw Tom Brady have his longest run in 5 years.
Yeah, he was scrambling.
What kind of statue are you talking about?
Going all 3 miles per hour.
I mean, I could have outran that guy.
Charvarius Ward turns his head. That's not also not a 17-yard run or whatever. Yeah. But Thomas Chung in there. Tom.
That's a lead feet
I wouldn't have expected Tom to be running that space either, Charvarius.
He was like the little engine that could.
Batman's up next. Batman, time's yours.
Man, this, I heard some good calls and some bad calls today. I'm telling you, especially about Travis, man. He came out with a bloody face and everything, 10 guys hitting him. The man is awesome. He did what he needs to do. But this game was a statement game. This is one of the best games of all time for the Chiefs because we needed this game. We needed to beat the Patriots there to establish the fact that we are the contending for the championship. And we're the best team, the baddest team in the land. You haven't seen nothing yet, brothers. I already told you we were going to take it. Now we're going to sweep right on in these next three games and go in on a hot streak, just like this team should, because it's the best team. They're the Red Machine.
There you go. Batman out.
Wasn't the Red Machine already taken by the Reds?
I'm not sure. The big red machine.
What
if it's just Red Machine?
Well, Andy is Big Red. This is Big Red's machine. Can we go with that?
I don't know. I you have to check with the trademark office.
Okay.
It's hard to tell these days.
Kramer, look that up.
That is another edition of Time's Yours. Your chance to win a Smokehouse Barbecue, 913-576-7610. If you remember the risk it for the brisket. And we check in with the mayor next.
Fesco in the morning.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
Time to win yourself Smokehouse Barbecue. $50 at Smokehouse and assorted sauces and spices. Every Friday at 8:15, one of us makes a weekend prediction. Monday at 8:15, you tell us who made the prediction. Did they get it right or wrong? And you can win yourself Smokehouse Barbecue. Simple as that. Steve, today's contestant. Steve, tell us who made the weekend pick. Did they get it right or wrong?
Bob made the prediction and got it wrong.
Well, technically, I got it right.
Steve, you're
but
exactly
I
right. Don't be falling for this.
I said on Friday the Chiefs would win by 2 scores. They won by 7. That's 2 field goals.
He's got a point there.
The way I knew he was going to spin it this way too, because that the way yesterday's game unfolded, it was 2 scores, or it was the 2 scores the Patriots got jobbed on.
Yeah.
Either way,
Steve's a winner. We'll get
either
it.
Way. Either Steve way. Wins. That's right. Steve wins $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue and assorted sauces and spices.
I think I did say by Bob, 10 or more. Or
Bob
something
said
like
the Chiefs will win by 2 scores.
Yeah.
On Sunday, it was a 1-score game, but that doesn't matter because you win. That's all
right.
That matters. We can be wrong all we want,
and we are.
As long as
99% of the time
you can recognize we're wrong, which you're very willing to do,
mm-hmm.
You can win yourself Smokehouse Barbecue. We'll do it again Friday at 8:15 with the weekend prediction. Risk it for the brisket.
Sports talk show hosts and politicians are very much alike in that, Mayor Lucas, aren't we? We're always wrong no matter what we do.
Absolutely. I know that story very well, particularly knowing complaints
when you
could winter
potholes. Yeah, we're getting ready for that. So, when you're out there for your jog, bring some spray paint and then, spray paint the potholes so the city can see those, okay?
Can do.
How about that one yesterday, though, man? That was a great team win. Wasn't it the defense picking up the offense and playing the way that they did? That was an awesome defensive game.
You know, a few weeks ago, I met Steve Spagnuolo and talked to him kind of about how the team seems to be gelling. And I think yesterday you saw it where the defense, frankly, carried the game. I mean, some huge stops, particularly if you go back to the end of the game. The number of times we've seen Tom Brady, including last year in the AFC Championship game, march down the field, have this great comeback. It was amazing to see the stops here, the pressure, the sacks, and then, of course, batting away that ball on their last play on fourth down. I mean, this is the stuff that gets you stoked about a playoff run.
Yeah, no doubt it does. And really excited because they came up with that big play at the end of the game with the greatest of all time at quarterback and his best offensive player in Julian Edelman and Rashad Breeland just like, get that ball out of here. We don't have any time for that. You know, that's
absolutely
a play that normally gets made by the New England Patriots, but it was stopped because the Chiefs played such good defense. I mean, they were on the field for 10 minutes and 11 seconds in the fourth quarter yesterday. They gave up 3 points. That's a hell of a defensive effort.
Yeah, I mean, it is
it was really kind of astounding. I say in some ways, and I know we curb stomped the Raiders last week, et cetera, this has to be one of my favorite performances of the season. You look at all phases of the game, there was not like a huge gaping weakness. Yeah, there were some mistakes along the way, but you're looking at special teams making key stealth plays that help change momentum in the game, certainly the defense. And then the offensive side, you had the ball with Spencer Ware, some good runs down the line. They kept going back to the run, even if it wasn't being as productive at times as we wanted. That opened up the game for us to, I think, look deep to Tyreek a few times. Certainly McCole Hardman with a great run later on. And so I leave this game feeling like we're in a great position. And isn't this amazing? We've already clinched the division with 9 wins. I mean, AFC West, like, pick it up. <It's good.
laughs> We'll take it. That's fine. It's good to clinch. Right. Good to clinch early. Have that little, I guess it's the Z, right? Is that the Z in the standings, by the name? Z for clinching the division by the team's name. We were talking about all last week, like the fans. I felt like the fans really needed like to see it get done in Foxborough to like kind of slay another dragon. How confident are you that they could do it again in the playoffs?
What we saw last night is that the Chiefs can win against anyone, anywhere. Not saying that New England has down games and up games. I'm sure they could come on stronger in the future. I mean, you've seen this team tough it up weeks and weeks. You know, and sometimes they have been questionable games at Detroit, right? But then at New England yesterday, we see that type of stellar performance. I think this shows every fan in Kansas City that this team could be unstoppable as you get to the playoffs, particularly where, you know, our offense didn't put up that many points. I mean, they did a great job. When you look at all of our playmakers actually hitting and the fact that didn't happen last night, we still won, and I think pretty handily, then I'm excited about what's coming ahead, particularly in the postseason.
Well, and won and only scoring 3 points in the second half. I mean, that's how remarkable that was. If I would have told you 24 hours ago that the Chiefs are going to score 3 points in the second half, they're going to win the game, you'd have called me a liar and said I was nuts, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. We've gotten used to, over the years in Kansas City, both Alex Smith era and even in the early Mahomes era, this thing that we needed to be gunslingers, we needed to put up all these points, and that was our way to salvation, right? I think what we are seeing now is, with this complete team, you don't have to hope that Pat's putting up 40 points and, you know, just kind of hoping that the defense, you know, bends but doesn't break. What you saw yesterday was like a true shutdown, and that was exceptional. I mean, I love seeing us be able to kneel down, run out the clock, and frankly, having our coach outsmart Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Belichick blowing a challenge on that fourth down, right, I think was exceedingly questionable. It ended up burning him later. And that's the sort of thing that you start to see. The Patriots had like one or two of their trick plays, but we had the better play calling. I think the better team yesterday.
Well, and I think, yeah, you saw how much that game meant too to both coaches. Like, when was the last time you saw two coaches, especially these two coaches who don't show any emotion, that emotional during a game too? You knew it meant a lot to both sides.
Oh, my God. I mean, seeing Belichick, first of all, it just made me have so much joy as a fan of good things to see Belichick so angry on the sidelines, right?
Yep.
Shouting about how he should have had a touchdown, et cetera. I mean, look, when you play well, right, luck tends to go your way. And it was so thrilling for all of us back here to see that, by good plan, right, we get some calls that go our way finally. But I think our team put themselves in a great position to take advantage of it.
And how about the spoiled fans, Mayor Lucas, up there, you know, booing Tom Brady? I mean, God, to have their problems, right?
I mean, that's ridiculous, and that's everything you need to know about New England. I mean, look, I've been there. The fall foliage is really nice, but otherwise, you know, enjoy like your 25 sports championships of the last 10 years and just sit down. You know, like, it's, look, you had a solid team. You trailed for the first time since, what, fall of 18. I mean, it was amateur hour from the past fans yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, that was a great win. Now we got a little break here for the next couple of days to get ready for the Denver Broncos and, you know, get past that. We're talking playoffs now, man. The playoff scenario is already out there, and we could face the Pittsburgh Steelers if the season were to end today.
You know, I mean, it is an interesting set of things. I'm excited about the opportunity for us to host, right, not just the home playoff game and the wild card, but to get back to that 2 seed. I mean, looking at New England's schedule, we probably need to have drop. I mean, they've got pretty much one tough game there, Buffalo. I have learned to never rely on the Buffalo Bills for anything since I was a kid watching the Super Bowl in 91. But nevertheless, you know, they could do us a huge favor in upsetting the apple cart on that one and getting us back to the position we like in that 2 seed.
Well, Mayor, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, we'll see you Arrowhead on Sunday.
You got it. Take care. Mayor Lucas with us here on 610 Sports
Radio.
Makes
the jog a little bit easier on a win like
that.
It really
does, yeah. I can't wait to actually get a little jog on today. Did 7.25 miles yesterday. I'm ready to go again.
Big story coming up, and they may have their guy next. Fesco in the morning. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Big story coming up. Also, it seems they've got their guy. A meeting is underway to determine that. We'll discuss a little winter meetings as well coming up, as yes, the hot stove is underway. Time now, though, for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Man, it was 3-by-1. Edelman, you know when Edelman at number one, he's not going deep. He's running like a little air route. So, you know what I mean? My eyes after that, once I saw him go underneath, I just climbed. And as I was climbing, he threw the ball, and I just made a play on the ball.
But Sean Breland had it all along. I don't know what he was sweating about.
Keep watching the play over and over and over
again.
Made
a play on Edelman. You know, it's Edelman's not going. He's turning out. I jumped the route.
Yeah.
Made the play. Game over.
That's a defensive back play. That's what you do as a defensive back. You make a play like that. That was a hell of a play by Breshad Breland. And if he doesn't make that play, who knows what happens? Maybe the Patriots find a way to score. They kick the extra point. Maybe not. Maybe we go to overtime. Maybe the Patriots win it in overtime. Who the hell knows what happens in that game? But I'll tell you what, the Patriots weren't going to drive down the field in overtime had it gone to overtime against this defense. This defense balled out yesterday, and Breshad Breland was just one of the amazing players that took place in that game yesterday. You had Frank Clark, who was awesome yesterday. Tyrann Mathieu was really good yesterday. Everybody on the defensive line, I don't want to start naming guys because I'll leave somebody out.
Like I left out Chris Jones earlier.
Yeah, like you left out Chris Jones.
Chris Jones is my automatic, so I totally forgot
about
him.
How good were they? I mean,
they were awesome.
What we saw yesterday was we saw what I've been saying for a long time is a Steve Spagnuolo defense. Steve Spagnuolo is the daddy of Tom Brady. That was a defense yesterday that was very reminiscent of the 2007 New York Giants against Brady in the Super Bowl that shut down Tom Brady back when he was a lot younger than he is right now. And they played miraculously. They rotated on the defensive line like it was nobody's business. They came at him with exotic blitzes. And right now, as I've been saying all morning long, the defense is currently the strength of this team. They've given up 14 points on average over their last three games. If they continue that, the Chiefs won't lose again.
No, they play like that. Now, different teams, there's Brady, but three
no, I'm saying straight if games. If you give 14 points
14
up
points
per
a game,
game,
yeah. Well, you said before you're like 20. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. They held them to 20 yesterday.
14's a heck of a bonus. Like 20, am I confident this offense can score 21? Yeah. Give me 20.
Mm-hmm.
14's outstanding.
Yeah.
And they're getting it. Also, Bashaun Breland's comment there again goes to they are scouting.
Right.
They are absorbing information. The buy-in got there, right? Which like snowballs upon itself. The belief in the system, all those things. But basically that was all preparation. Sean Breland's comments, all prep.
Yeah, it is.
All coaching and prep, and then going and making a play.
Man, it was 3-by-1. Edelman, you know when Edelman at number one, he's not going deep. He's running like a little air route. So, you know what I mean? My eyes after that, once I saw him go underneath, I just climbed. And as I was climbing, he threw the ball, and I just made a play on the ball.
That's all prep. We know when they're in that formation, he's not going deep. He's turning out, and I made the play.
Yeah, made the play.
The thing has just, again, snowballed on itself. It's awesome.
It's great. Andy Reid was asked after the game, has the defense turned the corner, Coach?
That's hard to say in the National Football League. So, I mean, but I could tell you that every week we've gotten better. You know, we had a little bit of a hiccup at Tennessee, but other than that, it's been consistent progress forward. I think Spags and the coaches there have done a heck of a job. Most of all, the players have bought in, right? I mean, they're flying around and making plays, and, you know, they were able to get to Tom do some nice things, did some good things in the run game, and ended up putting it down right there at the end and made some plays.
Did take a step back. We all went, whoa, against the Titans, right? Looked like we were coming off the stop Dalvin Cook. Whoa.
Yep.
But then hopefully that was just a little hit of the gas or of the brake pedal, mm-hmm. little tap to mm-hmm. just take the cruise control off, and then you're back out going again. Hopefully that was indeed the case. They've looked great over the last few weeks.
Yep.
I love everything I hear coming out of this defense. And I think once they saw positive results, this thing has kind of snowballed. I love I know New England's not the greatest rush team in the world, but I love the fact that they looked super committed to stopping the run. Like, you are not going to run on us today.
Correct.
Especially between the tackles.
Well, that first series, I mean, boom, boom, and then it's third down, and then they get a pass interference penalty.
They were incredible between the tackles. The defensive linemen shooting the gap, linebackers shooting the gap. I thought they were really, really good against the run yesterday. Yep. And you know, Tom Brady was their best runner. I mean,
yeah, he really was. Like, he was their biggest threat running the football, right?
Their most effective runner was that. Gave up a 119-yard carry to James White, but that was basically it. And did a really good job against the run game yesterday, too. Loved everything I saw from the defense.
This one's for Tom. Nope. Not going to happen. You say you love everything you hear out of the defense. I love everything I see out of the defense.
Well, that, too. But I'm just saying I like what I'm hearing. Like, Bashaun Breeland there. I know it's, like, geeky, like, but that's, like, I can hear it.
Yeah, you're excited because they're actually doing their homework.
I can hear it. I can hear it.
Yeah, like, they're preparing.
You prepare for that. All these things you hear about New England over the years where they go, oh, they're doing this, this, and this, and they know what's coming before it's coming. Blah, blah.
Right.
Bashaun Breeland, I heard that. I mean, basically, I knew it was coming.
You think Belichick's on the hot seat now?
Yes, absolutely on the hot seat.
Absolutely. I mean, New England did boo the team.
Yes. It appears Missouri's got their man. We're now stalking airplanes, by the way.
Are we doing
We're not even stalking airplanes because Mizzou football just sent out a tweet with the athletic director boarding a plane.
Oh, what does the tweet say?
It just says
going to get our guy.
It's got the emoji. It's got an airplane and then eyeballs.
Oh.
And it shows him getting on a plane. So, presumably to go get the new coach.
There you go.
So, the reporters don't even have to stalk the tail fin. Missouri football's just doing it for you.
Yeah.
They're just loading people onto the private plane. They're on their way. Little show me Tiger logo, and they're off to get their new coach.
When did that become a thing where we started stalking planes? And it's only a collegiate thing, too. I don't think anybody does it for the pros. Nobody cares, really, you know, in the pros when we do that kind of stuff. And things seem to happen so much quicker in the pros, too, with the hiring process.
Well, you don't have to stalk planes because every up-and-coming coordinator interviews during the playoffs.
That's
on
true.
Their, on their off
that is
time.
True. Yeah, everybody. Yeah,
I mean, everybody knows what the time frame is.
Yeah, everybody knows who's interviewing. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty.
But in college, my goodness, we love to stalk the plane. So Eli, what's his name?
Eli Drinkwitz. Yes,
I wrote Eli Drinkwater.
Yes,
I don't know.
That is not correct.
That's not right.
That's not correct.
Kind of close. Yeah.
36 years old. Born in Norman, Oklahoma. So you love that, right?
Yeah,
Norman.
Well, he's got the Oklahoma roots.
But he's 36, and he's had one head coaching job, and it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting on the front end of one.
Yeah,
and good. Hoping you've hit on an up and comer.
You know, on the surface, it looks pretty good. I know nobody knows who he is because you never heard of his name before.
12-1 this year at Appalachian State.
Yeah, he's won like 11 straight or something like that. So, and that's a good program too all the time. But he's come from really good programs. He's come from the Arkansas State.
He'll
be
the youngest coach though, or second youngest coach at a Power 5 behind Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, all right, that's no big deal. I have no problem with age. Like I think we get bogged down. Well, he's too young. How do you know? You don't know if a guy can coach.
Yeah, or
can't.
You're the guy that never likes anybody that has never coached before. So
yeah.
I'm surprised you like this one because normally I've never heard of this person. He must not be able to coach.
I
think Missouri's trying to get on the front end of one.
They
may be completely wrong, but you're getting on the front end of a guy who might give you some sustainability, or maybe it's a quick hit and send it off to the next guy. But hiring a young person that's had one head coaching job can be seen as a gamble, but it can also be seen as you're getting out in front of it.
I don't know that I like or don't. I don't really know a whole. I mean, the guy's coached 1 year as a head coach, but I do like that. What you just mentioned there, you're buying early is essentially what you're doing if you're the university.
And I think
of Missouri.
You have to at times.
I think
you have to take those chances. They might not all work, but they could be Matt Campbell.
Right.
Could be maybe say Matt Rhule's last job before
mm-hmm.
Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you get somebody on the. It could be the Gary Pinkel
right
of the last go round. Granted, he had a little more track record, but. Someone that's ready to make that jump and goes might be, or it might be bad. I don't know.
And it happens so fast anymore in sports, Josh. You have one good year as a coach at a smaller school, you're getting booted up to the next level right
away.
This is
a pretty fast rise.
It is, but he's been. I like the hire from just looking at it on paper and seeing the programs he's been around. Arkansas State has turned out just huge head coaches over the last couple of years. Then he went to Boise State with Brian Harsin, did some good work up there at Boise State, and then was ultimately the head coach at Appalachian State. So the guy's put in his time, quick rise. And
was at NC State OC, too, before he got the Appalachian State.
Right. And so I like it on the surface. We'll see what happens. I like the fact that they are buying young on this one, and we'll see what happens. I just, wonder what the fan reaction is going to be because you fired Barry Odom. I think a week ago when they fired Barry Odom, I think the thought, Josh, was, oh, we're going to go out and get Urban Meyer, because I did hear Missouri fans thinking Herb would be coming to the University of Missouri.
No.
Not going to happen. No. So to go from what you thought your job was to Eli Drinkwitz, is that his name?
Drinkwitz. Yeah.
That's a big, like, from a name recognition standpoint, that's a big drop-off right now. So we'll see, though. He could end up being a lifer, could end up being great, could end up being your next Gary Pinkley. You don't know. You just don't know. But I like the buying early thing on this.
I love this Wikipedia. Drinkwitz has never lost a bowl game at this point.
He hasn't coached in one yet.
That's perfect.
He hasn't lost a bowl game at this
maybe
point.
Maybe as a guy from Oklahoma, they might have struck oil with him in Mizzou.
Did you just want to get that oil one in there?
I just want to get the oil one in there. Why not?
That's good. So The board of curators had an 8:05 meeting.
8:05.
Huh? Yes, an 8:05 call to
so
order.
Everybody gets to work at 8, and then they dial in.
But then, Mizzou football basically tweeted out the picture of the head coach getting on a plane. So
the head coach or the athletic director?
The athletic director. I'm sorry, the athletic director getting on a plane, presumably to go.
So
grab
he must have gotten the okay then to go make the sign. That's why he's getting on the plane.
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll just draw.
I'll just draw the fly to where plan to this one that the plane's going to.
Where is Appalachian State? North Carolina,
and then gonna go pick him up.
Is that North Carolina or is that like West Virginia or somewhere in the Appalachian Mountains?
Over those mountains.
Is it actually in the mountains?
Boone, like, North Carolina.
Is that a new state that we adopted into the union? We have 51 now.
What,
Appalachian?
No, I don't believe so. Boone, North Carolina. Gonna go pick up the new coach of the Tigers. I'm guessing. Probably press conference later on.
One time my mother bought furniture out of a parking lot that was from Boone, North Carolina.
But she was not in Boone, North Carolina.
No, she was in, like, you know, Dover, New Jersey. And she saw a truck that was selling furniture in a parking lot. It was half price, so she bought it all. It's terrible furniture. Mm.
So was it flowing up there or drove up there?
No, it was in the parking lot.
It was loaded in the back of a van. And
she just went to the parking lot and picked it out, and they showed up at the house, and they loaded the furniture in, took the old stuff out. My dad comes home from work. He had no idea she was doing this, and all this furniture's being moved out of the house. He's like, what the hell's happening here? And she got this new terrible furniture from North Carolina.
Like seems like a great idea to contract with somebody in a parking lot you don't know to have them come and unload your house.
Yeah, apparently.
Seems like what could go wrong?
My mother heard half price. She did not care what the repercussions were. It's the same lady who sold fake tags and Rolexes to my friends in college.
We had a funny earlier in the text line that texted in, Frank Clark flu game greater than Michael Jordan flu game.
Well, did you see Frank's tweet last night where he tweeted a picture of Jordan after the flu game hugging Scottie Pippen? Good tweet, Frank.
Yeah,
good tweet.
That was
good tweet.
You might as well jump on board with that one, Frank.
Coming in quickly on him, and they finally get to him. It's Frank Clark, who missed practice all week long. Never sacked Brady once in January in 46 pass attempts. They've been close today. They finally got to him.
They did. Three sacks of Brady. Frank Clark had a heck of a game and was not right heading into the game. He had a rough week.
Yeah, he did. I talked to somebody after the game around the team, and what I was told, and this is unbelievable. Like, this is really remarkable, and I think once you hear this, you start to think differently about Frank Clark, and I think this was kind of his coming out party for Chiefs fans. He, last week, this is all last week, lost 10 pounds, threw up for two straight days, spent time in a hospital, didn't eat for the last 2 days, just had like those liquid IVs being put into his system, and nobody thought he had a chance to play on Sunday against the New England Patriots. So after dropping 10 pounds, throwing up for two straight days, going to the hospital and not eating, Frank Clark went out there and had arguably the best game of his career as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He went out there and got the GOAT and also came up with a really, really big play on a simple running play after that touchdown was not allowed because the refs blew it.
He does to White, and he's thrown down by Frank Clark.
That was a big play. That was like a first and goal, if I'm not mistaken, from the 5-yard line. That pushed him back a couple of yards, created now a second and goal, but like from the 8-yard line. And I thought Frank Clark, Josh, just with those two plays alone, had a massive day yesterday for the Chiefs.
And, I mean, maybe it's just lighter. I mean, it's 10 pounds lighter.
Yeah, getting out there quicker, you
a little
mean?
Quicker out there.
Yeah. He's at a better playing weight now.
Could be.
Just took the flu to get to it.
But you look at his numbers yesterday. He was fourth on the team in tackles, had a sack, had two tackles for a loss, and a quarterback hit. That's a day. That's the type of day that you want out of Frank Clark. And if he can do that game in and game out, man, that's the type of performance that you need. That's the type of performance that gets you to that next level. And he didn't do it in Mexico against the Chargers. He did it in Foxborough against the Patriots, the greatest of all time. Tom Brady and those guys up there in a hostile environment, tough place to play, 42-0 with Brady and Edelman going into that game against AFC teams, 35-4 in the month of December at home. Frank Clark went up there and wrecked that game for the New England Patriots and came up with two big-time plays after suffering all week long and doing some hospital time and getting some IVs and, you know, losing 10 pounds and not eating and puking all over the joint. And that guy went out there and had a hell of a game. Like, now, that's how you endear yourself to a fan base. And I think Frank Clark won a lot of people over yesterday performing like that under those circumstances.
Take the day off today. Take a victory Monday, Frank.
Well, it's victory
Monday. Get yourself an IV and feel better. It might not be necessarily a victory Monday, though, for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have an x-ray and an MRI on that injured hand.
It doesn't feel great right now, but it's something that you play with. In this sport, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bang something. And so for me, it's about going out there and competing and relying on my teammates to help me out whenever I'm not feeling maybe 100%.
So we'll see what this has in store. I told Pat not to go to the doctor. Let's just blow this thing off. Men typically don't go to the doctor, so just just do that and don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know what the X-ray and the MRI shows
because
it's probably going to show something with an injured hand. I don't want that.
You don't
want
to see that?
I don't want to see that.
Well, maybe not though.
And it's. I mean, I do question how much that affected him, especially in the second half of the game. Yes, he couldn't grip the football fully, and had kind of a loss of feel with that hand, whatever it was, finger, whatever it ends up being. Could lead to why maybe the offense didn't do some things in the second half, but played through it. I just don't want him to know at this point. Hey, if you played through it and it was something going on, let's just blow it off. Now if it balloons up and looks like the hamburger helper hand,
right?
Then you're gonna have to get something done about it. But it sounds like he's gonna have the X-ray and MRI, and we'll see when the Chiefs reconvene on Wednesday if Andy gives an update or They leak something out over the next couple of days or so. But I'm guessing he'll be fine. But that was a scary situation. I thought, okay, he doesn't look right away. And wouldn't have been surprised he got pulled. In fact, it looked like the backup had the coat off, was ready to go. Matt Moore was like ready for the call. Didn't quite get the call. And Mahomes, to his credit, stayed in.
And he couldn't get the call with Deion either, because if you don't ball, you don't get the call. And so Matt Moore didn't get the ball, so he don't get the call. Mm. Here's Andy Reid talking about the hand.
Matt hurt his hand early in this game, and we think it's okay, but I mean we'll see how it goes. But it was hard for him to grip the ball and do the things that he needed to do there. So, but he powered through it. Didn't say much. You know, that's how he is. So. We'll take an X-ray of it as we go here and MRIs all that stuff that we do.
All right, so here's the
Pat's
deal.
Pat's got a hand.
He's got a hand. I got two of them. You got two of them. You got two of them. We got six between the two of us, the three of us. If we had six hands between the two of us, we'd have something special. Hard to grip the ball, Andy Reid said there. You heard him say that, right? And I think that goes back to the way that the plays were called in the second half, because there was anxiety from Chiefs fans yesterday in the second half of that football game from an offensive standpoint. Number one, this offense has come back down to earth. We have to understand that. This offense is not even close to what it was a season ago. The league, I don't want to say they figured them out, but they're doing a much better job of making this look like a normal offense than they did a season ago. Okay, so you got to give a tip of the cap to the NFL on that. But when you've got a situation where your quarterback has hurt his hand and you don't know if he can really grip that ball, Josh, the best thing to do is to go into that conservative mode and hand the ball off more and do short passes and not try to do anything deep. Because the last thing you want to do as a head football coach is put Patrick Mahomes in a position, or any player in a position, in which they can't be successful. And if that hand was really barking on him last night, then Andy recognized that as a head coach. Like, all right, we're going to do stuff here that's going to put our quarterback in a position to be successful. And while it looks like Andy was having a typical second half that fans get mad about and have anxiety over because of the way he goes conservative in the second half, I think there was a lot of Patrick Mahomes is hurt. I don't want to be aggressive here, because what if he throws a wounded duck and it gets intercepted? This was a nip and tuck game, man. One more mistake by either team could have swung that game in a different direction. And if you put Patrick out there and that hand's not right and you have him throw something deep and he can't get his hand around it and it flutters and gets picked off and then New England takes it the other way, man, now you're looking at a game that you just lost because you're trying to be over-aggressive in a game when your quarterback wouldn't have allowed it because of the hand being the way that it is. So to me, yes, I understand why fans are mad, and I was getting texts from buddies and whatnot during, what is he doing? How can he call plays like this? Like every time in the second half when Andy gets kind of passive aggressive like that. But I think yesterday was the circumstance of Pat being injured as to why they played that style of offense in the second half. That wasn't Andy being Andy as much as it's just easy to say because that's been the track record. I think yesterday was a circumstantial thing with Mahomes in his hand.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah, no, I mean, I can't say enough about the guy. So he does a heck of a job, never lets anything get him down, or he's tough and he just keeps pounding. So, and you saw that on some of those long third down plays where he just keep firing and good things are going to happen.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Doting from Andy on Patrick Mahomes.
We haven't had one of those in a while, right? I was going to try to find like a Tom Brady or a Bill Belichick or something like that. Then I heard Andy like, Andy's doting on this guy today.
He's decided to dote.
That's a 20-second dote for Andy Reid. That's a long
dote. That's an eternity. It's an eternity of doting. A little point of clarification. I did read the public board of curators meetings tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, you screwed that
tomorrow
up.
Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, but presumably due to... to say okay to a contract. Jim Sterk, though, the video put out by Mizzou football, the athletic director of Mizzou, getting on a plane.
Well, maybe he's going to interview candidates. Or...
Go pick him up. They're going to go finalize that deal and have it stamped by the curators on Tuesday officially. How about that?
All right.
We've drawn those darts.
They want to meet him first?
Eli Drinkwitz will be the new head coach, it looks like, at Mizzou. So,
all right.
So there you go.
There you go, Eli.
There you go, Eli. Winter meetings are upon us, and you're not going to be able to stop the rumor train.
Mm-hmm.
Witt's name is going to continue to come up around winter meetings.
It's going to be the hottest name at the winter meetings. I'm just telling you that right now. From a trade standpoint, it's going to be the hottest name that you hear at the winter meetings. And I have a feeling that the Royals aren't trading Whit Merrifield today. But I think eventually... he will ultimately get traded. I look at him right now, Josh, as this, I don't even know if generation is the right term, but this generation, Zach Greinke. Remember what happened with Zach Greinke? We traded Zach Greinke, got a center fielder, got a shortstop, and then got two guys, and one we were able to flip to Milwaukee 7 years ago today for James Shields and Wade Davis. The Zach Greinke trade set the Royals up for the successful run that they had with back-to-back World Series and a championship. There's no doubt without that Greinke trade, we don't win the World Series. It doesn't happen. We don't have Shields and Davis here. We don't have Kane here. We don't have Escobar here. Like, that trade set up everything. And Whit Merrifield has the opportunity to be that same type of guy to bring back a lot of pieces that can help this organization. The big difference is people like Whit here in Kansas City. My kids love Whit Merrifield. Every kid loves him. I think every fan loves Whit Merrifield. When Zach Greinke was here, he wasn't beloved by the fans. Fans were ready to go and move on from Zach Greinke because he clearly didn't really want to be here in Kansas City, and fans were mad at some of the things that he said. But he was able to work himself out of Kansas City, and it ultimately benefited the Royals. So I think Whit and Zach are kind of, Josh, on that same kind of plane that when Whit Merrifield does get traded, and I think he ultimately will, I just feel that way because I think there's so much to be gotten back in return for him. When it does happen, though, I think fans will be devastated. Not like Zach Greinke. We were all ready to move on from him, but Whit Merrifield is one of those guys who you go out to the ballpark for and root for every day. And I was talking to my kids about it the other day that Whit may be traded, and they started freaking out. They're 9-10. Like, so you know he has an impact on everybody here in Kansas City. I don't think he's getting traded at the winter meetings. I just don't, unless they absolutely blow the Royals away with some kind of crazy offer with three let's go right now players at Major League Baseball's highest level. I just don't think he's going to get traded then, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got traded midseason or even if he got traded next offseason because he's got that team control. He's a very valuable player. He He's very valuable to the Royals, but he's also valuable to some teams around baseball. And if the Royals can pull off a great deal like they did with Zach Greinke and get that style of player back for Whit Merrifield, then it's something you have to do because that trade set the Royals up to be world champions.
Even though Greinke won a Cy Young Award and it was really, really good, it was much easier to sell that one because he didn't want to be here.
Correct.
He didn't want to pull on the rope, really, which I said at the time. I'm like, you're not pulling on the rope at this point in time. You're not a help.
Right.
You can't say that about Whit Merrifield, right?
No, I mean, he's pulling on the rope. Yeah, he's doing everything you want.
He wants to be here, everything you want in a player, all those things. That one's a tougher sell and has become, obviously, a lovable kind of fan favorite. Yeah. So you'd have to do some kind of PR spin to it as well. But he is going to be more one of the more coveted players in terms of a trade, and you're going to continue to see stories like we've already read to you. Whit Merrifield fits into X lineup really well.
Right.
Like every team could use a Whit Merrifield. Now, can you get a couple teams bidding against each other too for his services and drive the price up a little bit? Hope so.
Yeah.
Hope that's indeed the case. It would benefit them probably to if they get the right deal, to go ahead and do that, much like it benefited them. It was tough to do the Greinke thing, right? Tough to do it. Even if he didn't want to be here, it was tough to part with an ace pitcher. But it set the table for some things. And I think it also amplifies if you can set the table with some things without giving up a pitcher, like more power to you.
Yeah.
You know, so if it takes Whit Merrifield to get that done, it takes Whit Merrifield to get that done. But we'll see if the time frame, because it's going to be, his name's going to be all over the place amongst rumors during the winter meetings.
No doubt about it. And he, like I said, he's going to be the hottest name out there that probably won't be moved.
It was an interesting morning for the Chiefs because the Chiefs could not unload until about 8 o'clock this morning all their equipment because there was a high school football game yesterday. They unloaded it and realized they left a crate on the plane with 35 of their players' bags. LeSean McCoy telling me he didn't have his helmet, he didn't have his cleats or his shoulder pads. Well, fortunately, the plane was in Newark, so they were able to fly it up, rush the bags over here. It didn't get here until about 2:30 this afternoon. All hands on deck, so crisis certainly averted. But, guys, if they couldn't get it here, could you imagine they would have had to forfeit this game?
No, we couldn't imagine that. Tracy Wolfson, CBS, sending it to us, guys.
Yeah.
But that was the scenario yesterday for the Chiefs. Just a strange deal. The airplane didn't get fully unloaded by the Chiefs staff.
Right.
Whoops, we left that giant crate back there in the back of the
plane. They must have thought they were the four-piece shirts or something like that they were going to leave on the plane, pass out later or something, I guess. I don't know.
Or the fantastic airline meal.
Right.
Like in a wheeled cart there with the trays inserted in there.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow mistakenly didn't unload a portion of their equipment that they needed for the game. Patrick Mahomes was talking about having to warm up different stuff. His stuff wasn't there yet either. I don't think the NFL would have allowed the forfeit. I think that they'd have figured something out, whether it delayed it long enough. But who knows? If the plane wasn't as close as Newark, anything might have been up for grabs. If the plane was anywhere else, far away in the country, and they weren't going to be able to get it turned around, the whole thing's like strange. One, the Chiefs are in charge of, unloading their own stuff.
Well,
but it's also an airline. Like, they just like, oh, you guys good? We're good. Okay, close it up and moved on.
Right.
Like, they didn't go check it either. There was no one at the airport or airline or anything went and checked to see this giant, whatever it was, crate of gear. I mean, that's a pretty big crate, like 35 bags of equipment
or
something like
that. That's a lot of stuff,
yeah. That's a lot of stuff.
It's not like one dude's helmet. That's the whole team.
Yeah, so, yeah, the fact that it didn't make it through not only the Chiefs, like, hey, we got everything?
Good to go? Okay,
and then,
good.
Then the airline going, oh, yeah, is this plane empty? Okay, let's get it on to Newark. It's amazing that it went to those links. And then they had to get the police escort of the equipment from the airport.
From the airport is fantastic. Like, I'm surprised no Boston fan got in the way of that and tried to stop that thing
slow
down.
It down.
But, if you've ever forgotten something on an airplane, like if you get to the top of the jetway and you go back for it, like that's already gone. You never get anything back that you leave on an airplane, a book, and it's gone. Like the fact that they were able to find this stuff really is remarkable. And they're lucky that United was the airline that they were using, and they just flew that plane from Providence down to its hub in Newark. I mean, what if they would have hubbed that thing back to Chicago or Denver or worst-case scenario, United has a hub in Guam. What if they would have sent that plane onto Guam or something like that, and it wasn't, you know, a two-minute flight away down in Newark getting worked on or whatever was happening to that plane while it was waiting to go back and get the Chiefs in Providence? I mean, we are very lucky that it didn't end up in San Francisco or Washington, D.C. even. I mean, just another hour away could have caused some serious, serious delays in the Chiefs getting there and that game even being played. And could you imagine having to forfeit a game because you didn't unload the plane and you left the gear on there? Like, that would not have been a good situation for anybody associated with the franchise. And the best part about this whole thing for me was the article that came out and it said the Patriots are not responsible in any way for this happening. This is the Chiefs' fault. Like, it was spelled out in the ESPN article because immediately everybody thought, the Patriots were in on this.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But the fact that the NFL has to spell that out, that's kind of sad, isn't it?
Now, it's just kind of admitting what everybody else already has known.
The Patriots cheat.
Stuff, weird stuff happens at Foxborough, and this would go to that list unless they got on front and said, no, this wasn't on them.
They sent you the meme that was going around yesterday with Belichick driving the
UPS truck? Yeah, fantastic. That was my first thought. Oh, yep, there it is. There's your one hiccup.
Right.
Going to Foxborough. Suddenly, your baggage got lost.
Right.
Huh.
And you were on a charter. How does that happen? Well, because you forgot to take it off.
And then apparently no one at the airport checks. They just close it up.
Close it up and send it on to Newark. Go on and do your next route.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Some did well, some did not. We revisit Chiefs win if next.
Fesco in the morning.
Exclusive act.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.